Time for business. Charles is here. He's beginning with the EU presenting a new plan today to end dependence on Chinese rare earths.
That's right, Stuart. China is the world's top producer of rare earths, a grouping of minerals that are used in producing magnets, which are then crucial for a number of high-stakes industries like defense, electronics, green energy, and automaking. And in 2024, China accounted for 59% of global mining. But more importantly, China's chokehold on the refining of these minerals is even stronger. Last year, according to the International Energy Agency, the Middle Kingdom was responsible for 91% of the world's refining of rare earths, with Europe only a negligible player in this field. This dominance really came to the fore in October when, in the midst of its tit-for-tat trade war with the U.S., Beijing decided to enact new export restrictions on these elements, which then led to major turmoil for European and global supply chains. As part of negotiations with the U.S., these restrictions have since been suspended for a year, with still certain exports now requiring special licenses. Well, this was a real wake-up call for Brussels, which found itself collateral damage in the U.S.-China standoff.
So what can we expect from the new plan? It should be released later today, Sean.
The new plan will seek to push for the EU to accelerate joint purchasing by the 27-member bloc of these critical raw materials following the template laid out for vaccine purchases during COVID, one which gives the EU a stronger negotiating position. It also seeks to boost local production and recycling of these rare earths. There are European deposits of these elements, but so far Chinese suppliers have been more competitive. And to complement this local production, Europe is looking to work with, quote, reliable partners for more supply, namely non-US producers and refiners like Australia, Brazil, and South Africa, to name a few. Finally, the plan will also propose the creation of a European Center for Critical Raw Materials that will be the bloc's supply hub. EU Industry Chief Stéphane Séjourné has previously called on the bloc to step up these efforts in the face of what he called racketeering from Beijing. Take a listen.
Increasingly, licenses are being granted in exchange for information that often, and worryingly, relates to industrial secrets.
C'est inquiétant de secrets industriels.
These requirements are also akin to racketeering if we consider all the demands made on our manufacturers in order to obtain these export licenses.
Let's move to something different now. This is Airbus cutting its delivery target for this year.
The European aircraft manufacturer said this Wednesday it was lowering its commercial plane delivery target to around 790 from around 820 for this year. This is due to a supplier quality issue on fuselage panels impacting its A320 line. They're now preparing to inspect hundreds of its jets, as a result. Earlier, thousands of Airbus planes were grounded for a software update after it was discovered that intense solar radiation could interfere with flight control computers.
Quick look at the markets then, Sean.
Major European bourses opening the session with muted trading. This after Wall Street recovered losses in Tuesday's trading session. And Asian bourses broadly rose as well, buoyed by tech stocks like Nvidia. Bitcoin also recovering this Wednesday after suffering its worst day of trading since March, now hovering over the $90,000 Bitcoin mark once again.
And Sean is going to end for us with a story that links breakneck economic growth with natural disasters.
Indonesia has been clearing up the devastation left in the wake of deadly flooding, which killed over 700 people. However, far from being a simple matter of a tropical storm and its ensuing deluge, suspicion has turned towards an aspect that may in fact have made the disaster far worse than it could have been: deforestation, which has long been central to the Southeast Asian nation's economy. Luke Schrago reports.
As the water recedes in Indonesia, the clear-up begins, but locals have noticed one key difference from past floods.
There's been floods like this before. Whenever it floods upriver, the wood logs end up here. Didn't used to be this many, usually just a few, but now there's more than ever.
With over 700 dead, Indonesians are blaming widespread deforestation, a practice central to its economy for decades that left the land unstable, prone to erosion, and unable to retain the deluge.
This is an ecological disaster caused by the mismanagement of natural resources by the government. The forest, which was supposed to act as a giant sponge for the upriver, ceased to function, resulting in the wooden logs being carried all the way to the estuaries.
While Indonesia has made efforts at reducing deforestation and logging, it's fallen sharply from a 2016 peak. The land left behind has been left to intensive farming for cash crops like palm oil, one of the country's main exports, itself counting for 45 million tons of production a year and a third of forest loss.
Sumatra's lost 4.4 million hectares of forest in the last 24 years, from 2001 to the end of 2024. Once all the good valuable timber was exploited, was extracted, then the forest didn't really have economic value anymore to people's eyes, so it got converted to oil palm primarily.
The Indonesian Attorney General's office is now leading an investigation to determine whether illegal activity contributed to the scale of the disaster, with the president himself calling for the protection of the environment.
Luke Schrager reporting. Thanks very much, Charles Pellegrin with the